All right, well, welcome back to Buzz on Book Biz. And today my guest is Terry Whalen, who is an editor and writer who has worked with hundreds of authors and published multiple bestsellers. He has formerly worked as a magazine editor and a literary agent, and he's currently an acquisitions editor for Morgan James Publishing. Whalen has written more than 60 books on a variety of topics, several of which have sold over 100,000 copies, and his magazine work has appeared in more than 50 publications. Whalen has now had an online training course for authors, which is called Write a Book Proposal, and he's an active member of the American Society of Journalists and Authors. He currently lives near Denver, Colorado. So welcome, Terry.
Rochelle, wonderful to be here with you. I always love to talk about publishing any chance that I get.
So when did you start writing and publishing your first book?
You know, that's a great question. I majored in journalism in college at Indiana University, but my About halfway through my sophomore year in college, I read a book called Jesus the Revolutionary that really changed my life and the direction of my life. My journalism colleagues thought I was a bit nuts. Instead of going to the New York Times or the Washington Post or one of those places like most of them, I went into linguistics with Wycliffe Bible Translators, and I spent 17 years with them. 3 years among the Southwest Kachikel people in Guatemala. And so I sort of left my writing for a whole period, and then I went back to it, started writing for magazines. And then I was at a writer's conference a number of years ago, and I was walking around with an editor, and she told me a problem that she had. And I always listen when editors try to tell me their problems. And she was at David C. Cook, and had a whole line of children's books, but didn't have a single book that talked about missions, even though that was a key part of their statement at David C. Cook of what they were supposed to be doing. She asked me what kind of ideas I had, and I said, well, at the time I was reading a lot of children's books to my own kids, and I knew that Steve Lawhead, who goes by Stephen Lawhead in the historical fiction area, but Steve had a series of children's books that he'd done for Lion Books called Howard Had a Hot Air Balloon, Howard Had a Spaceship, books like that. And they combined real pictures with a cartoon character to show kids that they could go anywhere. And I thought, that's a great idea. I should do something like that for missions. And so I pitched this idea of doing a book for David C. Cook called When I Grow Up, I Can Go Anywhere for Jesus, that would combine real pictures with a cartoon character to show kids they could go anywhere. And I did that book. That was my first book. It came out in 1992. Sorry, long answer for that.
Yes. Okay. And so who published it?
David C. Cook.
Oh, okay. Yep.
So it was a little children's book that I did for them.
Awesome. Well, how did you go from there into writing so many other books that you have, particularly about publishing?
Yeah, I've had great opportunities over the years. I've learned to write a book proposal. I've met a lot of editors at conferences. All those places are great ways to connect and find the right publishing place for you. And
you just froze up there.
Left Billy Graham, my writing kind of exploded, and I started writing books for other people and biographies and all different kinds of things. And I've learned a lot over the years about writing. And so I started to write a couple of books that I've written. I've written three books now, how-to books related to publishing. And so the latest that I did is called 10 Publishing Myths.
Right. So I want to talk a little bit about that book. You published it last year, and it's called 10 Publishing Myths, Insights Every Author Needs to Succeed. So for our listeners, I'm just going to read what those 10 myths are. And there's a chapter on each myth in the book. First one is, I will make a lot of money writing my book. I think a lot of people know that one is like not true. Second one, my publisher will sell and promote my book. Yeah, we've talked a lot about that on Buzz on Book Biz, about how a writer needs to know that they are primarily responsible for marketing their own book. Writing a book will make me famous. Myth number four is beginning writers have no chance to get published. That was a great chapter. I really appreciated that one. I can't call myself a writer unless I publish a book. No, that's actually not true. And you do a good job of unpacking that one. Then number six, is the editor will fix all of my mistakes. Interesting, because everyone just assumes that the editor is going to do all of that fixing work for them. Number seven really resonated with me. Good writers are born, not made. So as a book coach, I help people wrestle through that whole issue of, but I'm not a writer and I don't have the talent and all of those kinds of things. So number eight is self-publishing is the best way to get my book out into the market. That's really an interesting topic these days because there are so many self-publishing companies and there is this kind of understanding out there that if you want to get your book published quickly, go to the self-publishing people because it'll take forever to get through to a traditional publisher. So you kind of address that one as well. Number nine is my book will be a New York Times bestseller. Yeah, that's a bit tricky to do, right? And number 10, number 10 is the life of a writer is glamorous. Yeah, I can confess to that myself. It's not very glamorous at all. So this book, I think, is just a great resource for people. And I really want to highly recommend it to listeners out there that are contemplating writing a book because you have covered off sort of the full spectrum, I think, of a lot of what people think when they think about writing a book, and you kind of undo those myths very, very cleverly and very thoroughly. What would you like to say to people out there who might be listening that are first time writers trying to figure out how to publish their first book?
Yeah, Rochelle, it's hard. I mean, there's a lot of companies that will try to suck you in and get you to publish with them. But I really do encourage people to, use Google to try to find out about these companies before they sign up with them. I've seen so many people make mistakes just because somebody's got a good pitch or somebody thinks that that's the right place for them to get published. I guess what I was trying to really do in this book is help people have a realistic perspective about publishing. There's so much that is outside of our control as authors when we publish a book, but there are things that you can practically do to get your book out there and reach people with it. And so that's what I was really trying to emphasize in this book.
Right. So what do you think is the most important attribute to become a successful author?
Yeah, I think one of the most important attributes is to understand that you as an author have to take 100% responsibility for your own success. Jack Canfield, the Chicken Soup for the Soul co-author, wrote a book called The Success Principles, and that actually is the very first principle in that book, is that I will take 100% responsibility for my own success. Because what I find out there, Rochelle, is people want their publisher to do it. They want their publicist, their agent, somebody other than them to do it. But really, as authors, we're the best person to market and sell our book, reach our audience, whether we want to or not. We have to take that responsibility to really get ourselves out there and be successful.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about the process of getting your book in front of a traditional publisher when it's your first book? What does that look like?
Well, there's a lot of different ways to do that. I usually tell people that getting a book published involves being in the right place at the right time with the right stuff in front of the right person. And I understand that that's a lot of rights that have to line up, but you as an author have to be out there. So I would encourage everybody to get to a writer's conference at some point in order to be able to meet people, meet editors, sit around and have a meal with them, drink coffee, learn about the process and how that process works. So that's one of the key things they can do. Also, every writer needs to learn how to write this mysterious document called a book proposal that editors and agents use to evaluate your idea to see if it's something that should be published. And I've had to learn how to write a proposal. As a matter of fact, when I was an acquisitions editor at David C. Cook, my very first job inside publishing, I was very frustrated with the type of material that came across my desk because often it would be missing some key element where I couldn't go in and get them a book contract. So I encourage every author to learn that process of how to write a book proposal. As a matter of fact, I have a revision of my old book that I wrote out of that frustration called Book Proposals That Sell, 21 Secrets to Speed Your Success. My new book comes out on October 5th. The website is already up, so they can go to bookproposalsthatsell.com and take a look at that and see all that and pre-order the book even.
Right, because I would imagine that a lot has changed in terms of the publishing industry, what they're looking for and how to write a book proposal. It would seem to me would have to change as well. So that's good to know that you are updating that and that that's coming out in October.
A lot of things change all the time in publishing. And the key fact that I would give your listeners here is that every book, no matter what kind of book you write, whether you self-publish, whether you traditionally publish, whether you write a children's book, a fiction book, a nonfiction book, that book needs a proposal because that proposal is essentially your business plan of what you're going to do, who's your audience, how you're going to get out there and market that book. No matter what happens, even if you self-publish, you still need a proposal from my perspective.
Well, and it's a good exercise to go through even for yourself as the writer, that you are collecting your thoughts and putting together a strategy. And you should do that even if you didn't write a book proposal and send one to a publisher. You need to be proactive, right?
Absolutely. If you don't aim at something, you're sure to hit it, you know, is what I would say. So every writer needs that plan. And that's what your book proposal is.
So tell us a little bit about Morgan James. What kinds of books do you publish?
Yeah, I've been with Morgan James now for the last 8 years. Even with a worldwide pandemic going on, We published about 200 books last year. Our books have been on the New York Times list 29 different times. They've been on the Wall Street Journal and the USA Today bestseller list over 60 times. We're a very different kind of publishing house. We're treated as a traditional publisher. Our books are in brick and mortar bookstores like Chapters, Indigo, up where you are in Canada, and Barnes & Noble's Books A Million. All those independent bookstores in the US, but we're also online. We're not just on Amazon, we're on over 1,800 online bookstores. We're quicker than a lot of traditional publishers to be able to get your book out there into the marketplace. We work with you on a lot of those details. It's a very author-centric kind of publishing program. Mostly we do nonfiction. I would say the majority of our books are nonfiction, but we still do 25 or 30 novels. We do 25 or 30 Christian books that we do a year, and also a few children's books sprinkled in there as well.
So would you say then the pandemic didn't affect Morgan James negatively if you were able to do 200 books last year?
Yeah, I would say it did not affect us. I was actually on a webinar about 2 weeks ago. I was probably in there with thousands of people. I have no idea, but I was on there with Adam Grant, who's a best-selling author, as well as Marcus Dooley, who's the chief executive officer of Random House Penguin. And he was saying that there's never been a better time to be in publishing since Gutenberg, because books are flourishing out there and they're selling. Now, all of us in publishing, and I was guilty of this too several years ago when digital came along, we thought digital was going to overtake print. But the statistics show something different, that it's really an 80-20 split, so that 80% of the books that are sold worldwide are sold in print and 20% digital. And so, yeah, even with the pandemic, people are reading, people are buying books. Great things are happening out there.
Well, and people have more time to read and had more time to write as well. And so other publishers I've interviewed on this show have said that they've seen an uptick actually in manuscripts coming through the door because people had more time to write. And I'm sort of wondering if there's going to be a wave of sort of apocalyptic literature that comes out of the pandemic. People have seen this, you know, end of the world sort of possibility, and if that's going to inspire some new fiction along those lines.
Yeah, there probably will be. I think some of us that are in publishing are already tired of seeing the you know, the words pandemic and COVID in the submissions that are coming across our desk. So I would I would caution you about that. There's a lot of other ideas out there that probably need to be published.
Absolutely. So what is one of the most effective ways for writers to reach their audience and to really have clarity about their audience?
You know, there's not just one path, I guess, is what I tell you to reach the audience. So every author has to be thinking about their readers and how to reach those readers. And what I tell you, it's probably going to be different for you than it's going to be for me. But at the end of the day, I believe that every writer needs to have something that they can control, and that's often their website, their blog, their email list. Those are things that they can actually take charge of and be building. And so every one of us need to have those resources in our arsenal, but we also need to be out there, you know, on social media, on different platforms. And your consistency and your persistence in doing that will pay off. So don't blog once or twice, you know, figure out a blogging schedule that you can actually do on a regular basis. Like for me, I blog once a week, and that's just what I do. And my blog has over 1500 entries in it. So there's a lot of material in my blog about writing and publishing and all that. But all of us just have to sort of figure out where are our readers, how to reach them, and then just do it over and over.
Right. Yes, it's a lot more work than just writing the book, right? It is. Writing the book is just the beginning. And actually, there's a lot of stuff now about how you can promote your book even before it's written. Actually even sell the book before it's been written and published.
You can. There's pre-sale ideas and strategies and all that. But the best time is to promoting your book is right now, is the way I look at it.
Right. Okay. So what role does consistency play for writers to sell books?
Yeah, consistency is really important, but So like I mentioned blogging, how I blog every week. So figure out something that you can do on a consistent basis. So, maybe you're on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and all those rented platforms, because I don't control any of those places. I could get kicked off of them tomorrow, but yet I'm still using those places. So figure out what kind of tools you can use on a regular basis to reach out onto those platforms and be very, very consistent. So for example, on Twitter, I've tweeted thousands of times. I tweet 12 to 15 times a day, but I obviously have a system to do that. I may be tweeting right now, but I have it all worked out ahead of time through a program like Hootsuite or Buffer or something like that.
Right. Yes, those are wonderful tools. I use Buffer, actually. It's a great help to schedule your posts and enter them all at once and then go away and forget it for a while.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit more about what the passion is that a writer needs to have to get through this whole process of writing, publishing, and promoting their books.
Yeah, that's a great question, Rochelle. Yes, every author at the end of the day, underneath what they do, has to have some passion, some driving force as far as why they're writing, why they're doing that. Books are long, it takes a long time to write 50,000 words for a nonfiction book or 100,000 words for a novel. So you do have to have that passion to keep going in that process. For me personally, my passion story is that when I was a sophomore in college, I was sitting at my campus newspaper at Indiana University with 30,000 students. And I was back in the old pre-computer days, I had my fingers on the computer or on the keyboard, my Royal typewriter. I couldn't get my fingers on it right. And so back then, when you made a mistake, you backed up and X'd out and went on. I had been out drinking with my fraternity buddies the night before. And so I knew my copy was going to look terrible. And so I kept muttering to myself, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. And this little blonde haired girl who was sitting next to me turned to me and she said, "Oh, Terry, don't say that, because one of these days when you really need him, you'll call out for Jesus and he won't be there." And I thought, what is this? I'm a Christian. I go to church when I'm at home. I read the Bible in church when I'm at home. I didn't really have any relationship back then, Rochelle. So she suggested that I go to a little Christian bookstore a couple blocks off the campus, and there were pretty cards and posters there, and maybe I'd find a book that interested me. So a couple of days later, I wandered down there to that bookstore, and I bought a book called Jesus the Revolutionary. I thought, how in the world could Jesus be a revolutionary? I had no idea. So I took that back to my dorm room as a sophomore in college. I read that book, and it showed me a side of Jesus that I'd never seen before. And about that time, some people invited me to a Jesus people gathering in downtown Bloomington. They were sitting on little scraps of carpet with candles lit, and those people had something that I didn't have. And so I got a Bible, and I've been going the Jesus trail ever since. And that's why I went into linguistics for 10 years. And that's why a number of the books that I write are Christian books that I've written over the years. And that's really what fuels what I do, that passion, because I know books changed lives, because years ago, a book changed my life.
Right. No, books are very powerful. They can be remarkable instruments of change, personal change, cultural change. Thank you for sharing that story. Just a reminder, like you say, of the power of a book, the power of the written word, the power of the pen. And that's wonderful. So again, talking to people that have not written their book yet, have maybe got a passion to write, but they should maybe read your book, because your book about the publishing myths addresses that one question of, but maybe I'm not a writer. You know, those self-doubt questions, those issues that maybe I'm passionate about an idea, but I've never written before. So what makes me think that I can be a writer now? What would you say to them?
Yeah, I would, I'd encourage them to get my book. I've built a website called 10, it's the number 1010publishingmyths.com. And they can go there and they can see different ways to buy the book. I don't just send them to Amazon. They can buy it a number of different places. Also, when they're there, they can get a free download from me on the 11th myth. When I was writing this book, Alice Kreider, who was the acquisitions editor at David C. Cook, she's no longer there, but she told me I was missing the 11th myth. And I'm like, Alice, what is that? What's the 11th myth? She said, well, the 11th myth should be that if I send my book to Oprah, she'll book me on her show. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's a pretty good myth, Alice. I think what I'll do is write that chapter. And so I did. I wrote that 11th chapter about the myth there. And then that's the free chapter that people can get from me with the foreword by Jerry B. Jenkins. And you can see a bit about my book there if you did that.
Wow. Yes. Getting onto Oprah, wouldn't that be every author's dream to be in front of that massive audience of hers? And yeah, it's not easy to do that.
No, it's not. And actually one of my friends who's in publicity told me about a warehouse in downtown Chicago that where Oprah gets all the stuff that's given to her every year. And she organizes it all and then gives it away a couple of times a year. So if that's where you want your book to go, by all means, send it to Oprah.
Wow. No, like you really need to A, have an amazing book, and B, have an amazing publicist to get your book in front of Oprah.
Yeah, it's the right connection there. Absolutely.
So tell me about publicists. Have you worked with book publicists at all?
I have. I've worked with a number of them. And Rick Frischman is one of my long-term friends. He's known as America's publicist, for example, and he commonly says that one of the things that you can depend on from these book publicists, he ran one of the largest publicity firms in the United States for years. He said one of the things you can depend on from these book publicists is that they'll charge you every month. That's one of the things that you can guarantee. In general, a lot of them charge somewhere between $3,000 and $5,000 a month. So that can add up. But there are publicists that work in special markets and other things that don't charge that much. You can have more limited campaigns and learn a lot from them. So, be looking for those people. But yeah, you have to make sure that if you hire somebody like that, that you're going to get that right return, I guess, on that investment that you're going to make with them. I had one of my Morgan James authors here recently tell me that she has spent $50,000 on publicity in the last year and didn't think she was going to do that with her future books. And I said, well, yeah, I don't think you should. If you didn't get that kind of return on it, you shouldn't be spending that money month after month. So writers just need to be aware of what's happening out there. These publicists can provide lots of great opportunities for you, but lots of details have to line up sometimes on those opportunities to make them actually effective for you.
Right. Yeah. And this is the hard thing, I think, for writers, is that they have to navigate, who's a good publisher, who's not, who's a, charlatan, because, there are those out there. And the same goes for the publicity world. And it's a lot of sorting and sifting and trying to find a way to get what you need to happen for your book without ending up on the losing end, as you say. So, that's I think a lot of hard work for a writer, especially if you've got a day job and a family on top of all of this, and your book is just a side hustle, you know, it's a lot to deal with.
It is hard, but you'd be surprised. I mean, I talk to writers all the time, and they, I mean, the best tool that any of us have is Google for something like that. So you can type the name of this firm that you've heard along with complaints and see what comes up. And are those complaints true? I mean, you can do that for Morgan James, for example, and you'll find some people that complain out there about us. I mean, every publisher has complaints, but at least for Morgan James, our complaints are old or they're not true is what I would tell you about some of those. But, you know, you can type in certain companies, and I hesitate to mention any of those companies, but if you type in their names along with the word complaints, you're going to see pages and pages of people that have had challenges with these people. So, you know, that's just a simple thing that every one of us can do to try to make sure that we don't get down the wrong path.
Right. Do your homework, do your research, for sure. Awesome. So getting back to your book, the book, it, again, just for our listeners, is 10 Publishing Myths, Insights Every Author Needs to Succeed. And as you say, they can go to the website, which is 10, the number 10, right? 10publishingmyths.com.
That's right. That's the website.
10publishingmyths.com, and find out how to get this book. And are there any other books that you would recommend are sort of must reads for people trying to get into publishing of their books?
Well, I've already mentioned my book Proposals That Sell book, but I also wrote a book a number of years ago called Jumpstart Your Publishing Dreams, Insights Every Author Needs to Succeed. And that book is actually what we call in the business a book, because I had all these blog entries that I did. And so I took those blog entries and organized them into different chapters. And that's essentially what that book is to help people really achieve their publishing dreams. And they can get that, get some information about that at jumpstartdreams.com is where they can learn about that, but they can get the updated edition at any bookstore or anywhere that buy books.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm just thinking here that you've demonstrated one of the things that authors have to do, which is to create a website specifically for a book, right? Because if people are searching for the name of your book, they know the name of your book, but, and they don't end up going to Amazon, they can find a whole website dedicated just to your book. And that's a great way to sell your book.
Yeah, thank you. That's an idea somebody gave me, and that's what I've been doing for my books.
Awesome. Well, you are clearly a wealth of information and experience in the publishing and writing world. So I really appreciate you being on our show. Thank you so much for your time today, Terry. And I think that there's been a lot here for people to take to heart and to act on. And I will put in the show notes for the podcast those URLs for your books. And hopefully our listeners will have a visit and maybe get your books.
Well, thank you, Rochelle. Yeah, and I really want to encourage your listeners. I've been in some of the top literary agencies and editorial offices in New York, meeting with the people. And you know, the question I find that they're asking all the time is, where's the next bestseller? Every one of us that are in publishing are looking for the next author. Sure, we may get lots of emails, we may get lots of submissions, but we're all actively looking for that. So your listeners should really be encouraged that, you know, there are people out there that can publish your book and get it out there and that are looking to help you in any way possible to get it out there. It just has to be the right fit at the end of the day.
Right. Awesome. Thank you for being a good fit for this podcast, Terry. And all the best with your work and with the books that you're continuing to write.
Fantastic, Rochelle. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks a lot.